This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be. I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'll be just a lonely, I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. Be so, I'll be just a lonely baby. I'll be just a lonely, I'll be so lonely, they could die.
Oh yeah, a little bit of the wailing Elvis Presley. He really got into those high wailing notes, didn't he, in some of those early songs? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We try to get high, but not necessarily wail on you. I am Paul Molloy, along with Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us. It is the middle of the month, February 16th. Wow, it's moving along. We'll be talking in a few minutes with Mike Howell of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about the Durham Report. You know, the alleged spying by the Hillary Clinton campaign and other Democrats on the Trump campaign and the Trump White House. Where's the media on this? They were all excited trying to connect Trump to Russia. Boy, story after story when that was going on, when he was running for president. Now they've gone silent on it. We're going to talk with Mike about it. So stay tuned for that, if you would. And President Biden seems to get tough on Russia. Did you hear him yesterday? At the same time, he is rejecting Donald Trump's executive privilege claim on the January 6th imbroglio. They want to look at all these records. Trump phone calls and like, we're going to get some thoughts on that. And on the Russian situation from the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. And did you hear about the Pentagon? They are set to host today an event that makes the case for democratic socialism. This is the Pentagon. Democratic socialism. Did you ever think you would connect the two? Anyway, we're going to take a look at it, so stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we are all in a song fest this week. We gave you the greatest love songs Monday. We're going to give you the top 10 saddest songs today. So stay tuned for that as well. Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, for my money. Andrew's Magic. It is a magic barbershop. He changes you into something really sweet. It's Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. That's just north of State Road 580 Main Street on the Overcast Drive. Ed, we got to call it the Magic Barbershop from now on. I think that would work. I have to ask Andrew about that. Okay. So, did you see that retail sales are rising faster than expected this past month, January? U.S. consumers accelerated their retail spending in January as the virus cases eased nationwide, but they were still at the same time confronting the hottest inflation in decades. Now, retail sales, which is a measure of how much consumers spend on a basket of things, ranging from cars to food and gasoline, retail sales rose 3.8%, 3.8% from January. This is according to the Commerce Department. And here's a guy from the National Retail Federation. He says the retail sales numbers, minor speed bump on the road to post-pandemic recovery, not a reflection of consumers' willingness and ability to spend and drive the economy. He says a number of factors contributed to the retail sales bump, including major snowstorms in the Northeast and unprecedented ice storms in the South. So I guess he was looking at it as being negative, but according to economists, they expected only a 2% sales rise, and it was at 3.8%. So anyway, people are spending it. They're spending money on something, even though a lot of, and I've talked with Ed about this. I got two cats to worry about. I go to the Walmart food store down here, and it's virtually the wet cat food, which is my finicky cat wants wet cat. It's almost completely empty. I mean, it's really scary, and I keep thinking, why is cat food? It's not like cat food is coming from overseas, you know? I mean, why is cat food not on the shelves? Are the farmers not getting their stuff? Are the truckers not delivering from the farms? Is that what? I guess it's still a trucking thing. And, of course, now we got Justin Trudeau is starting to sound like a dictator in Canada. Did you see what he's going to do?
Martial law.
He's going to start grabbing their bank accounts. Truckers that are demonstrating. I think he's starting to look like a tyrant.
Well, he has no choice, really. Look, Ottawa, where it all started in downtown Ottawa, they had to fire the police chief there because they knew the blockade was coming a week in advance, and they did nothing.
Right.
At least
right,
Toronto knew it was coming and took care of it. You know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I go back and forth with the truckers. I don't want to see them stopping people from being able to drive down the road.
I don't either.
I'm very much against that, but at the same time, I kind of understand how frustrated they have been. They have been taken advantage of in many ways.
Yeah, but
and some of these regulations,
did you see their list of demands?
Which ones?
The truckers.
It's sort of a discombobulated group. But what
it's
is
like
the
four pages long. I mean, there's so much stuff in there. I mean, I don't know.
I don't either. I think it's like a lot of things. If you talk to one trucker, he'll give you a list of things he's upset about. Then you go across the street, talk to another trucker, mm-hmm. and he's got a different list.
Right.
But they are, as a group, they are very upset about their treatment. And let's face it, think about it. If they don't deliver the goods, we don't have anything to eat.
Right.
So we got to kind of worry.
Well, not only that, it's supplies. It could be medical supplies.
Yes.
Stuff like that.
Absolutely. You know, maybe they're not appreciated enough, you know? Well, the only thing I think about trucks is, man, how do I get around this big truck on the highway?
A lot of jobs are maybe not appreciated enough, but...
True.
I mean...
True.
You made your point. I think right now it's kind of back off, maybe. I don't know.
I just don't see reaching into their bank accounts is going...
Canadian thing's a whole different story.
That's a scary thing up there. Anyway, let us take our break. We got enough to worry about, don't we? We have enough to worry about here in the United States. We got Mike Howell joining us. We're going to talk with Mike about the Durham Report and what might be called a high-tech Watergate.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday, February 16th. Thank you so very much for being with us. It's warmed up here in Tampa Bay, which is kind of nice. We've had some cold weather for us, at least, for the past several days. Sunny out there, warmer. Well, we got a lot going on with this Durham report. This is the thing that the media refuses to talk about. John Durham has finally, you know, a lot of people were saying, what is John Durham doing, the special counsel guy? You know, we haven't heard a word from him. Well, all of a sudden, things are starting to come out. And they're all kind of involving this whole Russia thing, something that the media just apparently, the mainstream media does not want to talk about. So we've got Mike Howell here, senior advisor for government relations at the Heritage Foundation. And I think you called it, if I'm reading this right, Mike, you called this thing a high-tech Watergate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that might be offensive to Watergate for not being that bad, because it's way worse. I mean, in Watergate, they, you know, got caught right away and weren't actually able to actualize and make use of a lot of the information. Here, they did for a course of many years in front of the entire media, the Democratic Party, and all the tech elites, into this conspiracy theory that Trump was colluding with Russia to steal the election, all to cover up one of the greatest, you know, presidential victories of all time. So, yeah, it's worse than Watergate in that the effects of it actually came to be. And we're not talking just breaking into a hotel room. No, we're talking about monitoring internet traffic at the White House and the Trump Tower, the ongoing presidential campaign. So, yeah, Watergate's a good comparison, but it may be a little generous.
Yeah, really. I see the New York Times and some of those newspapers already running cover for some of these people. This guy Sussman, the attorney that has been indicted by John Durham on this whole thing. But they're calling it, well, you know, this is accessible stuff. You know, we're not really, they're not really sneaking and spying and this and that. You know, this is, they're trying to water this whole thing down, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely they are. I mean, they're basically doing the work of, you know, Sussman, the individual who's indicted here, of his attorney. His attorney issued a counterfiling, which really doesn't rebut the core stuff that Durham had in his filing, which is that they're monitoring the internet traffic at the White House based off of a contract for specialized access that they had via federal government contract. They exceeded that access to exploit the information to compile derogatory information about Trump to kind of make a fake inference that he was working with the Russians. That's wrong. And any American should be able to say that's wrong. But what the media instead is doing, just keep in mind, it's not just the Clinton campaign who should be in trouble for this. It's the media who force-fed this, you know, lied narrative. Keep in mind, which all goes back to a phony, basically, P-tape video that never existed that they tried telling everyone existed. So the media is covering their own hide right now because they're in on it, too. And so if you're looking for an honest reaction to this stuff, I wouldn't go to the mainstream media. I'd go to an unbiased news source who actually, you know, potentially isn't implicated in this.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you just don't know. I mean, Donald Trump himself says the Justice Department should declassify remaining records related to the original Trump-Russia probe. So they're sitting in there, I guess, with all this stuff. And, you know, the Biden administration is going to run cover for what they were doing for Hillary and for Barack Obama. You're not going to get that stuff coming out. But maybe this is kind of a good thing, Mike, because now, I mean, we were all, John Durham, you know, for all these years, he was looking into this. Everybody was going, what is he doing? What is he doing? You know, we haven't heard a word from him. And he was, I guess, very methodical about this, right?
Well, yeah, I'm not willing to, you know, give him the Citizen of the Year award just yet. I mean, I think what happened, you know, in the 2016 election is pretty obvious in terms of the absolute lies that were forced and then the reaction to the Congress had with the Mueller probe, signing Mueller. So, look, the bar is pretty high for what we need Durham to achieve to actually restore accountability for the grievous sins that were inflicted on her body politic.
Yeah.
So one filing's not going to, I'm not a cheap date. No, I'm not a cheap date. I need more than one filing.
Oh, absolutely. No, this is just light stuff right now. This is a goldfish, and the sharks are still swimming in the tank, right? Now, they're going to take this guy, I'm thinking, and anybody else that they start kind of collecting in their net, and they're going to make them want to sing. because they want to climb up the ladder. Do you think the ladder eventually reaches to Hillary Clinton?
Oh, I mean, all roads probably lead to Hillary Clinton. They've been having the corruption game for a very long time and the dirty politics game for a very long time. So, you know, whether she was signing the memos herself and, you know, saying, hey, you go ahead and do this, it's a different story than if she had her henchman, Mark Elias, you know, basically doing the funny business for her. It's not like they know what they're doing. You know, it's not like they don't know what they're doing when they engage these tech firms and shady lawyers. This is how it works for them. And those lawyers know that the Clintons have a much higher appetite for illicit activity than a lot of other clients. So, I mean, Hillary Clinton certainly is in on the whole idea of false accusing Trump of colluding with the Russians as an excuse, as is Barack Obama, as is his senior team that was in his White House, who now is the senior team that is back in the Biden administration, you know, all the way from your Lisa Monaco's of the world, who's over at DOJ, who, by the way, got confirmed pretty much, you know, unanimous Republican votes almost, and these ridiculous nominees that are now populating our national security establishment. I mean, look at Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor. The stench is to the top. It's round to its core. And I really don't understand why Republicans tolerate these people coming back in.
Yeah, it's very scary. It really is. We're talking with Mike Howell, senior advisor for government relations at the Heritage Foundation. He leads the Heritage's conservative oversight project. And the cover-up, you know, it's funny. Hillary Clinton they used to call Ronald Reagan the Teflon president. I'm thinking that Hillary Clinton's kind of the Teflon candidate. Remember when she was taking emails onto her private server, classified, top secret government emails? You know, when they were taking her deposition on all of that, they didn't even put her under oath. And they didn't even record the conversation. Did you know that, Mike? And here,
oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's on the hill at that time. It's a joke.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I wondered what is going on. This is. You know, they didn't seem to care at all about what she was doing. By the way, she refused to answer questions as to whether or not her campaign spied on Trump. Somebody shouted from a group of reporters, "Did you spy on the Trump campaign?" When she was in New York City and she was walking by, she said, "When are you going to comment on the spy allegations?" And Hillary just kind of waved her off, kept going, you know? She's been sort of a Teflon lady. There's this bubble around her. I think there's a lot of people that think, God, we wish you would get her comeuppance.
I think you're right. I agree with you at your core in your analysis, but instead of Teflon, I'm going to offer an alternative. I think Donald Trump's more Teflon. They couldn't have something that could actually stick to him. They split right on.
That's true.
Hillary Clinton has a fire department around her, spraying the power hoses. And the fire department is the media, the Democratic Party, spraying all of this gunk off her at all times to clean her up after every last thing. So I don't think she's Teflon. I think it's more the
she's more slippery. She's more slippery. Mm-hmm. Oily and slippery. So... is this going to go anywhere? I mean, let's look down the road here. It's going to take a while. He's going to continue to get some more people into, John Durham, I suspect, is going to have other people involved. I'm getting the impression from you, Mike, you're not sure that this is going to ultimately result in anything big time. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think, us conservatives have for too long given our votes over to, people. Run on one thing and do another. And the appetite for actual demanding of accountability for people, and I say demanding accountability, I'm talking about keeping the pressure on, so people are facing serious criminal liability. And, the same kind of, justice, so to speak, that going after the January 6th protesters got in terms of, pretrial detention and, throwing the book at them. Well, why can't that book be thrown at this sort of corruption, which, was one of the worst chapters in American history.
Yeah, right.
So we need to demand the people that we send to Congress actually do what they say they're going to do. And so maybe this election cycle will be the one that we actually do it and they get the message. But as I said earlier, I'm not a cheap date, and I'm not going to cheerlead little things. I want big things.
Since you look at all of these cover-ups and this and that, President Biden has rejected Donald Trump's executive privilege claims – regarding what he regarding visitor logs on January the 6th. Do you think that Trump in some ways wants to keep things a little bit down too? I guess he doesn't want people to know some things that he was saying maybe at the time of the January 6th. I don't think he's at all to blame for that thing, the break-in. But, you know, they're trying desperately to connect him. What do you think about Biden and the executive privilege by Trump on that?
Okay, so a couple things. One, you shouldn't be able to just pick and choose when executive privilege is waived. But the purpose of executive privilege is that people's advice to the president is kept confidential so they actually give their true feelings and not are, you know, worried about how it's going to look when, you know, somebody with 2020 hindsight comes in. Then you got to give it a presidential privilege across the board. You can't just pick and choose. What you're going to have when you start getting rid of this is intense situations, people not giving the president a wide variety of options. And so Biden, you know, he's done this here. So what's the argument when Republicans come back and start asking him for all the documents of decisions he made? Let's talk about Afghanistan. Let's talk about opening up the border. Let's talk about Hunter Biden,
right?
Making millions of dollars, drug habits, and you know, foreign oligarchs, and et cetera. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If they want to give it up in that regard, let's get it for, you know, all the Biden administration. Second point is that I don't think necessarily Trump is worried about somebody advising him on, hey, tell those guys to go break into the Capitol over there. No, not at all. What he knows, he's smart enough because he's been through this for, you know, 5-6 years now, is that the media will take anything out of context, along with the Democrats, to try to falsely accuse him of something. Look no further than Russia. And so they're not looking for a smoking gun. No, not at all. What they're looking for is something, one person that they could say is connected 7 degrees from that person, who may or may not have done something, and they'll present it as, you know, definitive proof that Trump was behind all of this. Because let's not forget what the January 6th stuff focuses on with Trump. They're alleging that he incited this, that he called for it, that he had him do it, that he funded it, that he knew they were going to do it. All that is a conspiracy theory at this point. There's not been a single shred of evidence to that regard. And so they're in full panic on the January 6th committee trying to prove this stuff. And so why, if you're Donald Trump, give them any help to try to make up a lie about you? I don't know. You certainly can't trust these guys. What they're doing is one of the biggest civil rights abuses in American history. It makes the McCarthy committee look like small peas. They're, you know, getting private citizens the bank data without even letting the citizens know. They're tapping the phones. It's basically the war on terror, and all the techniques that were used to go after Islamic terrorists that blew up buildings in America. They're using that to go after, you know what, not the people who are in the Capitol, the people who are outside of it, peaceful protesters. And all the while, you have BLM thugs still out on the loose that burn down our cities.
You said a mouthful. You know, I was just thinking about that Hunter Biden thing. If Hunter Biden and his father, who would have been president, say, had been doing this stuff like back in the early 50s or late 40s when there was such a concern about Russia. And now Hunter Biden, you know, with his Russian and Ukraine and all the other connections that he had when his father was vice president. I mean, I just wonder how the press would have reacted then. Right now, they are absolutely stomping out any little brush fire on Hunter Biden as quickly as they can by absolutely just suppressing, I guess, you know, suppressing the things that this guy has done. I don't know. It's really kind of sad and scary at the same time.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I watched on Fox Nation, actually, the Hunter Biden docuseries. It's really good. It lays it all in a very factual way without a lot of editorializing. But I'll just offer this. With what's going on, you know, with Russia and Ukraine right now, wouldn't it be nice to know that the president of the United States is not financially connected
to
Ukrainian oligarchs?
You're right.
If your son or daughter is potentially going over to be in harm's way if something blows up over there, don't you want to know that they're doing it in Americans' interest, in Americans' national defense interest? And I don't think we could say that anything that's happening now vis-a-vis Ukraine and Russia is not being carried out without corruption connection to the Biden administration.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. I mean, they were trying so desperately to connect Trump to Russia. And here we've got this family tie of Biden to Russia, and Biden even to China and the Ukraine, where all these things are going on right now. You know, If you put it, as they say, you put it down in a book, they'd call it unbelievable fiction. Mike Howell, thank you so very much for coming on and giving us your thoughts. I know we'll be talking again down the road.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you having me.
All right, Mike. All right, Mike Howell, Heritage Foundation. We're going to take a break. When we come back, President Biden seemingly tough on Russia while rejecting Trump's executive privilege claims on the January 6th imbroglio. Let's get some thoughts on that with the proprietor of the Barber Poll himself, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
On a Wednesday, a warming up Wednesday. Kind of nice to see that. Well, will he or won't he? Is Putin going to send those troops over the Ukrainian border or not? You know, you're hearing now that he's pulling back on some of the troops and equipment there. I don't know if that's really true. I've kind of heard it both ways. In the meantime, Biden got up yesterday and he made a speech. Lasted about 11 or 12 minutes. He said that he will not commit American troops to a potential war in the Ukraine. He said, while I will not send American troops to fight, we've supplied the Ukrainian military with help to defend themselves. We've provided training and advice and intelligence. He did mention the Nord Stream pipeline that connects Russia to Germany. By the way, you know that pipeline goes through the Ukrainian area. And whether or not that's really done, that's another thing. We got the proprietor of the Barber Poll with us. And Andrew, I know we should stay the hell out of the Ukrainian situation, in your opinion. Did you hear Biden? Do you think, let's put it this way, do you think Biden is handling this Ukrainian situation very well?
Well, first of all, when you said he made a speech, you were wrong. He read a speech.
Well, that's true.
Okay,
he did read a speech. Yeah. So you're right.
Him talking.
No.
You got to figure out who wrote the speech to begin to go what's going on.
Yeah.
What's going on in Ukraine? Let me ask you this one. Germany, the pipeline, Nord Stream pipeline goes to Germany, right?
Yes.
Do you think Germany is going to stop that pipeline? Hell no. They want their fuel. What's Biden going to do? Declare war on Germany to stop the pipeline?
Yeah, I'm wondering myself. And in fact, did you know that in Congress, even the Democrats, Republicans in Congress are trying to come up with some sort of a resolution on the pipeline in case there is an invasion. And they're arguing with each other. So we're going nowhere with that.
You know, Paul, first of all, who cares about Russia with Ukraine? That's not even big news to me.
Yeah.
Okay, I could really care less. The big news to me right now is what Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
The Democrats. Because you know what? I know you don't believe there was shammy things going on in the election.
Oh, I didn't say that. No, wait. You said,
I've heard you say before that you believe the election was right and true.
I believe that Joe Biden did get more votes than Donald Trump. I think there's always hanky-panky in voting. Okay, I always think there is.
He got more votes, but he got the votes by cheating is what you're saying.
I'm not sure that he got more votes completely by cheating. He had millions more. How many more million votes did they say Biden had?
Like 2 million.
Oh, no, he had more than that.
Something, Paul.
Okay.
You see the fraud? You see what's going on with Hillary Clinton?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
The news isn't saying one thing about it, because if they did, the people would be in an uproar.
Well, they... Right? You know, it's funny. It's still a big topic, although, I watch C-SPAN, and every Republican calling in was talking about the Durham report. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you cannot tell me if they went as far as they did to spy, to infiltrate the servers of the White House to find out what was going on. It was treason, 100%. They would have all been shot in the firing squad in the right time. Okay. Now, with that going on, I believe the last election was nothing but fraud. Nothing but.
Okay. And I've said this with you before. It was like 9 million more votes or something like that. Technically, that's what they said, that Biden got than Trump. I just don't see how you can screw up that many million votes or, you know what I mean, across the country.
What you can do with computers, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what you can do, especially when you got geniuses working on them, paying them to spy. They paid them to change votes, Paul. Somebody made a lot of money with this election, Paul.
Well,
and I believe we're going to find out.
If it was strictly a popular vote, let's forget about all the states and just add up the vote total. Do you think that Trump got more votes than Biden in the popular vote also?
Paul, it's hard to tell. Because you got computers that were fudged with, period. You can't tell.
What ever happened to the...
The election was a scam, Paul.
Yeah. I'm wondering, there were all of these lawsuits. Now, for instance, Mike Lindell, and I watched that documentary. I think you and I both know about the documentary he had. So I recall he had some woman that was a voter, I don't know what, with a company that had something to do with the machines. And she claimed that there was hanky-panky, something like that. Do you remember that, Ed?
Yes, I do.
I was asking Ed if he remember. Ed, do you remember any of that? Anyway, that's okay. So where did that lawsuit go? Mike Lindell was suing.
Yep.
After that documentary, and I've never heard anything about it.
I believe it's still going on.
Okay. So there's still a chance.
You're right, Paul. You are not going to hear nothing about anything that is against the Democrats and Hillary Clinton and moron Biden.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You're not going to hear it, because if you start putting it out there and the American people hear this, they'll be in an uproar. But you're listening to the news that's going on. The biggest thing is Russia and the Ukraine. Who cares? They're diverting, Paul. They're trying to put things in people's minds so they don't pay attention to what's really going on.
Now, we're a member of the NATO, whether rightly or wrongly. Those European countries, along with the United States, that are in the National Atlantic Treaty Organization, which was formed after World War II, which basically says one for all and all for one. If any of those countries got attacked, the rest of the countries have pledged to treat it like an attack on their own country. Do you agree with that philosophy?
No. No, because, like I said, what are the European countries ever going to do for us if we're ever attacked? Nothing. Europe should take care of Europe. America should take care of America. Russia should take care of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
And, of course, that NATO thing was formed when Europe was picking up the pieces after the war.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Since after World War II, how has NATO really ever helped the United States? But tell me how the United States has always helped the country.
Well, they have. And maybe they've become too dependent on us. Maybe this is a good time for us to break away and say, hey, you're on your own.
That's right.
But if you say that to them, think about it, then maybe each of those countries will want to get nuclear weapons. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, everybody's got nuclear weapons. And
then you know what? Nothing will happen.
But think about it.
That's like everybody owning a gun in the street, Paul, and carrying them. The next person's going to be afraid.
So you say that if everybody has a nuclear weapon...
That's right. You'll have peace on Earth, believe me.
You think so? What if two countries that are upset with each other, you know, two small countries, but they have a couple of nuclear weapons, get really upset with each other, and one launches a nuclear weapon against the other. All of a sudden, we got hell breaking loose.
Yeah, you got two new parking lots in the country.
Okay.
Who cares? They're little parking lots.
Hey,
but what got to do with this country, Paul? We protect our country.
Yeah, okay.
Period.
Well, that's fair. Now, I want to ask you on more of a state issue with Governor DeSantis. First of all, you are always well aware of how things are going on because you have a direct connection with the DeSantis family. How is the governor's wife doing? Is she on the rebound?
She's coming along really good. We spoke with his mother. They were over at my house last Sunday. She is coming along great, and hopefully she's going to be fine.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's so great.
As you know, the mother also had breast cancer. That's why she's so involved with what's going on with her.
So it's kind of a family trait, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, you got to worry about that. Well, they're taking good care of her. In the meantime, Governor DeSantis, I think it's going to be awfully hard, Andrew, for him to turn down the call from the Republican Party for him to consider running for president.
He's not going to do it.
He's just not going to do it no matter what.
Nope. I'm telling you, if Trump is running, he will not run.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
What if Trump doesn't run? You know, Trump's pretty old.
If he doesn't
run. In three more years, he's going to be close. He'll be 78 years old.
I agree. I agree 100%. That's why I still like the.
He might start sounding like Biden does right now.
Nobody's going to sound like him. And nobody's going to sound like him. The guy's a refried bean. Okay?
Yeah.
They got his brains mashed up, buddy. He doesn't know what's going on. He don't even remember what he said yesterday in the speech he was reading.
Yeah. Well, you may be right about that.
The people will join together. If this gets out about Hillary and this went on in our country, Paul, this is the worst sign of traitorism in our country. It's a traitor. They're going against a duly elected president, spying on him. Who the hell are they thinking that they should get away with this? Who do they think they are, Paul?
Hey, we're talking with the...
If it was up to me, they'd all be in front of a firing squad right now.
He makes no bones about it, the proprietor of the barber pole. I'm going to ask you about this trucking situation in Ottawa, Ontario, which is the capital of Canada. And now Justin Trudeau, the prime minister there, is pulling money out of their checking and savings accounts. In other words, freezing their bank accounts, these truckers. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did, Paul. And you know what I've been telling people for years?
You're starting to sound like a real dictator.
Don't put your money in the bank because the government can seize it anytime they want.
Now, you did say that.
I said that 1,000 times, and I believe in it, buddy.
Now, you hide yours in a mattress in the, as I remember, a mattress in the garage, right?
Here you go.
I mean, do you have any money invested in anything other than, you know, for a rainy day, I mean...
Real estate, nothing.
Oh, okay.
Of course I got money for a rainy day.
Yeah, I know you do, but I don't mean that. I mean...
But do I have it in a bank?
But you have none in a bank? Okay.
But do I have it in a bank? I have minimal amounts in the bank.
Okay. Paul. And it's none of our business, by the way. You've done very well. You've done very, very well.
I understand, but I've told people for years, just because of what happened with my cousin, with him being, he got taken for $700,000 from the FDIC.
Wow.
Okay, everybody believes the federal government has your money protected up to $250,000. They don't. Okay, a bank is somewhere closed down. My cousin lost $700,000. They gave him an IOU.
Oh, that's horrible. Hey, how does Justin Trudeau get away with going to a bank in Canada, you know, like Dominion Bank or one of those, and saying, look down your list of people, and here we got these names of these truckers. We think that they have an account here. I want you to freeze their funds. If I was the bank president, I would say, well, I'm not going to freeze their funds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to freeze their funds. He's my customer. Get out of here.
Let me tell you something. All that moron did was make the truckers stronger. He's really got him pissed off now.
Well, now he's got, I think he's going to get a lot of Canada ticked off, too. They don't want, this is really going overboard.
He's afraid to walk up.
He's turning into a thug.
Right,
it's like,
he thinks he is. Paul, he was the little boy in school that was always the sissy. Now he thinks he's big.
Yeah.
I got news for him. The sissiness don't go away.
Wow. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Always a pleasure. Thank you so very much, as always, Andrew. And I'm looking forward again on Friday. I think things may change in a couple of days with the way things are going.
You never know. Biden will read another speech to us.
Yeah, really.
That Obama probably wrote. Who the hell knows?
Yes. Thanks, Andrew.
All right, Paul, you have a good day.
And the same to you, buddy. You know, he doesn't make any bones about his feelings. That's what I like about him. Andrew, the master barber. All right. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, the Pentagon is set to host an event today making the case for democratic socialism. What? We will take a look.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works today. By the way, we are on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here at the Tantalk Radio Network, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And so delighted you are listening to us. But thanks to Big Ed, we can also tell you that you can listen to our shows anytime you want because he puts all of our programs on podcasts. So just go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look at the top there. You'll see the podcast button. Click on it. Take your pick of the different shows. That's got all of them on there. He'll tell you who the guest is. He'll tell you the top 10, the whole bit. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, not good news for Sarah Palin. A jury has found the New York Times did not liable Sarah Palin in a closely watched civil trial that touched on the First Amendment, press judgment, and bias issues. They ran an editorial, and they put the inference that Palin's ad that she had run with little gun sights in the ad was a provoking reason for the shooting of a congresswoman. Palin claimed the Times defamed her by unfairly linking her in an editorial to that and also the 2011 mass shooting that killed six people at the time, wounding Gabby Giffords. So the jury unanimously found that the New York Times was not liable. And it aligned with the U.S. District Court judge who had already, unbeknownst to the jury, dismissed the case. So even if the jury had come back with, yes, the Times was liable, the judge had dismissed it. So I guess, I don't know if the fix was in, but poor Sarah didn't come out on this one. It's very hard to go after the media and say that they slandered you, because you got to kind of prove that they intended to harm you, you know, when you do things like that. So I don't know what to think. I think they did make the inference that she, you know, was causing some nut to want to shoot people, but, you know, it's, I guess you can say a lot of things and get away with it. It's kind of a freedom of speech thing, right, Ed? You feel that way?
Well, I always thought she was a little off anyway, you know, to tell you the truth.
Sarah Palin?
Yeah.
Mama Bear?
Yeah.
So you didn't like her, or you just thought she was a little nutty?
Her voice annoyed me to begin with.
Well, that's being unfair.
Well, no, I'm just being truthful. I don't know. And then I just said, I thought she was a little wishy-washy, too.
Okay.
I don't know. Just wasn't a fan of hers, that's all.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Well, this is kind of scary. The Pentagon is slated to host an event today making the case for global justice and democratic socialism as a way to combat the rise of China. The event, Responding to China, the Case for Global Justice and Democratic Socialism, hosted by the Institute for National Strategic Studies. Hey, that's the Department of the National Defense and the Pentagon. Now, what are they doing with that? It's open to the public. Featured speaker Thomas Piketty, French economist, will argue that the right answer to going after China's rise lies in ending Western arrogance and promoting a new emancipatory and egalitarian horizon on a global scale, a new form of democratic and participatory ecological and post-colonial socialism. Try saying that 10 times while you're sober. Well, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. But when you start talking about allowing, encouraging, promoting, whatever it is, socialism, which takes away from the idea of individual freedom and goes towards collectivism, you're not gonna succeed. You're not gonna succeed. And how it gets into the Pentagon is another scary indication of how far left our country is tilting. And we got to worry about that. And we got to right the ship. We got to tilt it back the other way. All right. Hey, Ed, before we get into our top 10, is there anything going on? Is Tom Brady still retired, or is he?
As far as we know.
Okay. Do you think there's any chance that he could be talked into coming back?
I don't know. Just so many people talking, it's, you don't know who's telling the truth.
True.
The only one guy knows, and that's until you hear from him. If we've learned anything about him, you know, when he speaks, that's when we'll know.
Yeah. Do you think he's for sure in his own mind, one way or the other?
I don't know.
I don't know if he knows. Yeah. Okay. Well, very good. I don't know if there's anything else going on. I see that the Lightning continued to do well. We haven't talked about the Lightning very much, but they're looking good. They won like 6-1 or something in New Jersey.
Yeah. 6-3, I think, last night.
Oh, 6-3, okay.
Yeah. And then I think the Olympics wrap up this weekend.
God, yeah.
I believe. I've been watching a little bit more of it.
Have you?
Yeah, I get a little. Some of the stuff they do on skis is incredible.
Oh, it is.
To watch it.
Are you watching any of the slalom or what?
Yeah,
what
all of it. Yeah. I finally got past women's hockey and then the curling thing. That just makes me turn a chin. I mean, what is curling? I mean, it's people.
I don't know.
It's people getting ready for shuffleboard in 30 years.
It's true.
That's what curling is.
With bigger stones.
Yeah.
Those big granite things. All right, my friend. Very good. We're on a song jag. Okay. Monday we did the greatest love songs. This is the top 10 saddest songs. I find these songs, to be honestly, not necessarily the ones I would choose.
Okay. So it's going to be like the last list.
Yeah, exactly. Some idiot that came along and decided. But it's from moneyverse.com. So here you go. Number 10. Crying by Roy Orbison.
Yeah,
remember
I know
that one?
Yeah.
I always thought it was good, but he sounded a little whiny in that thing.
Yeah, but that is a sad song. I'll give him that.
He had a stunning voice.
Mm.
He really did. I always thought he had a great voice. All right. Number 9. Something in the Way by Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
You know that song?
Yeah.
Arguably one of Nirvana's best tracks. Okay, number 8. Remember Amy Winehouse?
Mm-hmm.
She overdosed, didn't she?
Yes.
Very sad about her. Do you remember the song Back to Black?
I believe so.
Back to Black. Back to Black has become a hit of a double-edged sword of sadness. You know, people think about her overdosing and dying. All right, number seven. Hey, another guy, I think, that would overdose. Prince.
Yeah.
And Purple Rain.
See, that's a sad song. I mean, it's just Purple Rain, Purple Rain. I don't classify that as a sad song. I mean, a sad song is like a breaking up song or something.
I think
like
so,
that,
too. Know? This guy says it's a powerhouse of a song bringing listeners to tears every time.
I've never heard of anybody crying during Purple Rain.
No, I agree with you. Number six, Angels by Robbie Williams.
Okay.
You know that one?
No.
I don't know anything about it. It says here, not entirely gloomy song, but it's about thoughts that loved ones who have passed on come back and take care of you. Oh, okay, good. Number five, The Living Years by Mike and the Mechanics.
That's a good song.
You like that one?
It's about his father dying.
Oh, yeah. Well, that can I kind of understand that. All right, number four, My Heart Will Go On.
Well, of course.
Celine Dion.
Of course.
Yeah, you like that song?
That should be probably number one.
Yeah.
Now you want to get a tear fest going, play that song.
Play that one, okay. Number three. I don't know how this one got on here. I really don't. God Only Knows by the Beach Boys. You remember that song? That was a stupid song.
When have the Beach Boys ever played a sad song?
I agree. God Only Knows.
Oh, my God.
Nobody shed any tears on that one. How did he come up with that as number three?
I had no idea.
Number two, Hurt, Johnny Cash. Remember Johnny Cash?
Yeah.
The original by Nine Inch Nails, or Johnny Cash, epic of Hurt. Okay. I don't know anything about that song, to be honest. Says Cash's take on the track was truly out of this world, served not only a powerful reflection upon his life and career, but also a premonition of it all coming to an imminent end. All right. And finally, you know, I'm not even going to ask you because this list is so stupid, but here is the number one saddest song. Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Sinead. Compares to You.
I don't know if that's number one. But that's close up there. That is a Nothing Compares to You. Yeah, that was a breakup song.
It was
that's
a good
I mean.
Song.
Yeah, so that could be classified as a sad song because it was about a breakup.
True. Yes, it was. I got one. They didn't even put on the list, but I thought about it. And I'm a Beatles fan, but Eleanor Rigby. It was a very sad song.
You're going back to the black and white days.
But Loneliness of a woman, and then the priest that buries her and his loneliness as well. It's a very melancholy, sad song. I would have at least included it, but that's the way the ball bounces. Yeah. All right. Thank you so very much for being with us. We will indeed be back on Friday. Be careful, and remember that freedom works.
Brother Bellis in the back. Sweet singers in the front, cruising down the freeway in the hot, hot sun. Suddenly.